Why don't we pray, and then we will get to work. God, thank you for this day, for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that you have said that when we read this book, that you speak to us. God, we thank you for how you have opened up Jesus' life to us in a fresh way, in a new way, as we've read through Mark. We've seen sides of the Savior that have reminded us of how beautiful our faith is in him. And we thank you, God, for giving us that faith and giving us the ability to be your children and to love Jesus. God, I pray that you would challenge us today through the last words of Jesus as we leave Mark, that you would focus us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So when I was younger, little story time, when I was younger, I'm the oldest of nine children, and my sister that immediately follows me is kind of the one that I played with the most when I was a little kid. Her name is Anna. I kind of tortured her in various ways, but the biggest way was not a normal torture kind of way. I would make her play church with me, but because I was the man, you know, six-year-old man, I was the man, I got to do all the talking, and she had to sit there quietly and listen. And for the few of you who know my sister, she's about as vocal as I am, so that was not easy for either of us. I would do sermons, and it would consist of me trying to talk, and then most of the sermon was, be quiet, listen. It was not very, and this one time we played church. I remember we set up these little chairs, and we put the little stuffed animals so it'd be more than just her, because you can't preach to one person. That's not a sermon. And so it was her and then the stuffed animals, and she was talking back during the message, but I got through the message, and then we went to the Lord's Supper, and we had little bread, and I think it was leaven, so you wouldn't have wanted to go to the church. There was heresy involved. I think she got to pass the communion elements. She wanted to do the communion talk, but wasn't going to let that happen. Then we got through the service, and we didn't do church after that because she didn't like the songs I would sing. I would, you know, start the song and she'd just sing this one. So it was like, I'm in the middle of singing one. Sing with me. It was a continual fight the whole time. So we didn't do church that much afterwards because she didn't, I did a good job. She didn't like it. That was the problem. She wasn't happy with it. As funny as that might be, or maybe it isn't, the sad thing is, as adults, as big people now, we have the temptation and the tendency to do the same thing week after week after week, to play church, to make something that is what we want it to be, and to make church in our image, not in necessarily God's image. To play church so that we do church the way we want it to be. And at the end of the day, it doesn't look as quaint as two little kids preaching to each other with little chairs and stuffed animals, but it's about as silly in God's eyes. Let me just, and this is not this congregation, this is the same message. What I'm going to talk about today is the same message that I'll be teaching downtown tonight at our church plant. I think this is a teaching that would be appropriate in any church because we all have the tendency to play church. And what Jesus is going to tell us at the end of Mark is that our way of playing church is much different most of the time from what his mission for us is. And so today I want to look at some of the ways that we can play church, and then I want us to look at Jesus' words, and he will pull us back and remind us once again, what are we doing here on Sundays, and what are we doing in general? What is our purpose as a community? What are we supposed to be doing if we truly desire to follow Jesus? So that's where we're going with this. I think some of the ways that we play church is we're really concerned about our preferences. Sometimes we couch our preferences in, well, there's a verse here that says this, and sometimes we don't. We're really concerned about our preferences. At the end of the day, a lot of my complaining, and maybe your complaining about church, has to do with what I like or what I dislike, whether it's doctrine, and maybe you're right or maybe you're wrong, but But it's not as much about how right you are or how wrong you are. It's about how important the thing is that you're fighting about, right? So like what Paul said, I want to remind you what's of first importance. In Paul's mind, there was a level of importance in doctrine. And sometimes we get hung up on different doctrines. And if you go to any church, it's whatever particular doctrines are that people get hung up with are different. But it's a human tendency. We get hung up on different doctrines, or we get hung up on the style of music. I like the old hymns. I actually do. I like the old hymns. Or I like those new choruses. Or I want to clap along. Or please, nobody start clapping. I would have to run over and stop you from... We get hung up on our musical preferences. We get hung up on ambiental, environmental issues. Is that the way that children should behave in church? Is that the way that adults should? Is there enough light? Is there too much lighting? One thing we get downtown quite often is, why are all the lights turned off? I can't read my Bible. Well, it's on the screen, and you have the rest of the week to read your Bible, you know, with light. So just deal with it. There's a reason we have the lights off, so to deal with it. But we get hung up on ambiental things. Do I like the chandeliers? Do I not like the chandeliers? Or do I like to sit in pews? Would I rather sit in chairs? We tend to build church around what our preferences are, whether they're right or wrong. So I'm not knocking your preferences. It's just that, just our tendency. I like the way I do church because it's my preference. We also tend to focus when we come to church and when we think about church and the Christian community on not just our preferences, but our needs. Now, is this supposed to be a place, the place, not just on Sundays, but this community where we're supposed to be fed spiritually and have our spiritual and pastoral and life needs met? Absolutely. But the problem becomes when I look at this community as this is where my needs get met, and I evaluate the community and my participation in the community based on how well my needs are being met. So whether it's spiritual needs or relational needs, you know, I just don't have any friends in that church. Well, that may not be the church's fault. That may be you. What are you doing in community? But when I'm focused on my needs, then it's all about how many friends I have and how people are treating me and how well I'm being taken care of. And no one is coming after me to take care of me because my needs are what's important. I'm playing church and making church in my image. That leads us to work with Jesus, but in the way that takes the least from our lives, money-wise. Time-wise. So Jesus says, basically, if you want to summarize his teaching on how dedicated we should be, he should say every hand you play should be all in. All of your time, all your money, you should be totally focused and dedicated on me and my mission. And we say, what's the way to do this the easiest way and the least butting heads with my life way where I won't have to give as much time or money as possible? We look for easy ministries and low-cost ministries so we can get on with our life and at the same time feel like we're doing something with Jesus. And we like to be part of groups when we play church. We like to be part of groups where we like the people who are part of that community. And so we either spend our church life avoiding certain people and not really hanging out with certain people and liking the people that we like and being with the people that are like us, whether that's socioeconomically or racially or just, you know, professionally or whatever, people like us. Or we even jump to different churches because I like the people there. They're more like me. We're playing church. And that tends to lead us to become, and this is a tendency of every small to medium-sized church, to become a small family, but not in a good way. A small family where everybody has to do everything together. A small family where this is us, and we do things the way we like it, and we like the people we do things with, and people who come in from the outside really feel like outsiders because it's like you're at a close family gathering and you're the outsider. And the last thing is that turns and this is the tendency of every small to mid-sized church. It turns us into a club of insiders and outsiders, us versus them. There's those of us on the inside who believe the right things, who do the right things. We're part of the inner circle. And then there's the outsiders, and they're kind of looked on with suspicion. And when they come to be part of us, well, that's nice, but the only way, you have to become like us, and not just in what you believe, but in every way. When we play church, we make church in our image, and we make church the way we like it. And that was never the mission of Jesus. Jesus, in fact, left a mission to his followers. He gave his followers a specific mission, a purpose, a reason for them to exist. And it was not to play church. It was not to sing the songs that they liked. It was not to do things in the way that they wanted, with the people that they liked. That was not the purpose that Jesus gave them. He told his followers, you will be a community united in mission, not a community that does everything the way you like it, with the people that you like. The big idea, flip over to Mark 15 or 16. The big idea from this passage is that we are sent, we are commissioned, we are sent with power to change the world. That's how Jesus leaves his followers at the end of his life. He says, you are sent with power to change the world. You are sent with power to change the world. We're sent by Jesus with the power of his Spirit to change the world by bringing lost people into a relationship with the Father. That is the purpose of this community. It's not so that you and I can be around people that we like and that we feel comfortable with, that believe like we do, and do everything the way we want it to be done, and that our preferences are what predominate at church. It is so that we would be a community sent by Jesus with the power of the Holy Spirit to help people far from God come into a relationship with the Father. That is Jesus' mission. And as we've been studying Mark, everything's been building to this last page. Everything we've seen about Jesus being sent from heaven by the Father to earth, and then spent his life not focused on his desires and his comfort and being around people like him, because think about it, he is the Son of God, he is God. There were no other people like him. Instead of that, it was Jesus serving people, all in an attempt to bring them to the Father, Jesus confronting people, all in an attempt to wake them up and bring them to the Father, Jesus comforting people that knew they were lost and saying, you can be found, again, all in an attempt to bring them to the Father. And that's what Jesus does throughout all of Mark. And then as Mark builds into this crescendo of intensity as Jesus is killed on the cross and then rises from the grave, he is bringing people, he's opening the door so people can truly be connected with the Father. And then he ends it by saying, now, if you're going to follow me, you're supposed to go out and do together what I came to earth to do. This is how Mark ends. This is why we've been reading Mark together. Look at chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. Jesus has risen from the dead. He's appeared to his followers. And listen what he says to them. And he said to them, go into all the world. So that includes where you're at. This is not just if you're going to be a missionary, although that is certainly covered by this, going to another country, going to another part of this country. But it also includes where you are right now. So this is for everyone. Go into all the world. Again, this is not just a, we'll move on. This is not just a go and move somewhere else. Because depending on where you are in your stage in life, that is not what you're going to do. But all the world is where you live, and it's the people who live around you right now. It's not just where you could move to. So go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Then look down at verse 19. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. See the elements there? If you're going to follow me, I'm sending you. I'm sending you to do what? Well, I'm sending you with power, with the power of the Holy Spirit, to do what? To bring people into a relationship with the Father. Go out and proclaim the gospel. Well, what is the gospel? Jesus said, go. Jesus is sending them. He said, as you live your lives, do this. You're sent. This is your purpose. Your purpose is not to build a building and then do in that building what you really feel comfortable doing with people you really feel comfortable doing it with. That may be part of it, but that is not the mission. The mission is for you to be sent. The mission is for you to be sent with what? To proclaim the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel isn't be a better person. Now stop and think about that for a minute. Because if you've been found by the Father and He's changed you, there's a good chance that you, as we look at other people, you say, oh, they need to just stop doing that and sleeping there and drinking that and doing that and doing it. Okay, well, that may be true. But what do they really need? What's the gospel? The gospel is you have rebelled against your Creator. You are separated from God. Your heart is hard. You don't love what your Father loves. And you are loved by your Father, but you are not His child. But if you turn to Him, you will receive the perfect life of Jesus on top of your imperfect life. And you will receive the death of Jesus that pays the price for your sins. And you will receive the resurrection of Jesus. And you will rise from the dead one day. And you will be clothed with a glorified body. And you will be with your Father forever. You can be reconciled to the Father. That's the gospel. We're sent to proclaim that to everyone through the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you say, well, maybe that's just how Mark ends. One of the most interesting studies I did, for me personally anyway, was going to all the Gospels and saying, is that something that's common everywhere? Is that in all the Gospels? Is that something that they all took time to say, this is what Jesus said? If you're going to follow me, you're sent to talk about me and how people can have peace with God. And remember, what's the message? It's peace with God. Is the message you will live a better life now? Not necessarily. Maybe. Maybe not. Is the message helping the poor? That's important. But that is not the core of the message. The core of the message is you can have peace with the Father and be reconciled to God. So, look back at Matthew. All of the Gospels, it's really cool, all of the Gospels tell the same thing at the end. Matthew 28, verse 18. They tell it in different ways, though, which leads me to believe that Jesus said this in many different ways towards the end of his time on earth, because this was what he was sending them out to do. This wasn't a one-time kind of part of the message. This was the big thing that he left with them. Now, the 11 disciples went into Galilee, Matthew 28, 18, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I am the king. Go, therefore, go, sent, see the sent part, and make disciples of all nations. What are disciples? They're followers of Jesus, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. That's the second part. We're sent to change the world with Jesus. He says, bring people into a relationship with my Father. Teach them to be my followers. Bring them to the moment where they make the decision to be baptized, that to follow me. And behold, this is the power part. I am with you always to the end of the age. I am with you always. My Spirit will live in you and will empower you to do this. He will give you words. He will give you the ability. He will give you time. He will be the one who gives you the power to go and talk about me to everyone. Look over at Luke. Luke 24, 45. Again, at the very end of his time on earth, he had risen from the dead, he's talking to the disciples. Then, Luke 24, 45, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He's talking about the Bible to them, and he said, and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day be raised from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. So he's saying, that's what our message is. You are witnesses of these things. Behold, I am sending the promise of the Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. See the same components of the message. You're sent. You're going to be sent. You're going to proclaim these things. You are witnesses of these. You will proclaim them. What are you proclaiming? That you can have peace with the Father. That repentance and forgiveness of sins through Jesus will bring you into a relationship with the Father. But wait. The Spirit will come on you. You will receive power in order to do that. The same element, you're sent to talk about Jesus with the power, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Look over at Acts. Acts is the second part of Luke, right? Luke is Luke part one, Acts is Luke part two, written by the same guy, two parts of the same book. Look at chapter 1, verse 7. And he said to them, He's about to ascend into heaven. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons the Father is fixed by his own authority, but you won't know when Jesus is going to come back. You don't know when different things are going to happen. You're just human. Just do your part. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. So this is the reverse of what we've seen. So you're going to receive power, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. You will be sent. I'm sending you. You're going to receive power from the Spirit, and then I'm sending you to talk about me, to be my witnesses, to talk about me to the people who do not know me. When he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up in a cloud, took him out of their sight. He ascended into heaven. One more. Go back to John. Honestly, okay, so when I was looking for this theme in all of the Gospels, saying, okay, is this something that all the Gospels record at the end of Jesus' life, him saying, this is the one I was like, I don't think John says it. Well, it doesn't say it in the same way, but it's there. So look at John 20, verse 21. So Jesus, again, at the end of his life, after he had been raised from the dead, before he goes into heaven, he's talking to his disciples. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. So he's showing them, it's me. I was crucified. See the wounds. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them, now get this, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Same thing. In the same way I've been sent. Well, how were you sent, Jesus? I was sent from heaven to earth to be with people who I'm not like, who I maybe didn't like. I was sent to be around people who rebelled against me, who gave me opposition, people far from my Father, and I was supposed to, the whole time I was here, talk to them about how they could be at peace with the Father in the same way that I was sent. And then I was sent to die. I was sent to give up my life. In the same way that I was sent to give up my life, you're also supposed to take up your cross and follow me. In the same way I was sent, I'm sending you. So if you follow me, that's what it means to follow me. It means to be someone sent to talk about Jesus, to change the world with Jesus. Look at John 14. It's kind of scattered out, but look at 14:12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. We're sent by Jesus to change the world with him. How? By helping people come into a relationship from the Father and pass from death to life. When that happens, their world is changed because their eternity is changed. And then look down at verse 16 in John 14. John 14, 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will send you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You will know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. We are sent by Jesus, given the power of the Holy Spirit to talk about Jesus and help people enter into a relationship with God. Following him, to follow Jesus, is to receive that mission. Like my sister and I deciding what church was going to look like, we don't have that luxury. We don't get to decide what it means to follow Jesus. Well, maybe for you it means talking to people about Jesus and focusing your life on that. For me, it means being a good person and going to church on Sunday. No, if we follow Jesus, accepting his mission, saying, I am sent. I'm sent where? Well, where do I work? I'm sent there. Who is my family? I'm sent there. What community am I involved with? I'm sent there to help these people grow up and follow Jesus more fully. Where do I go to school at? I'm sent there. Who are my friends? What teams am I on? I'm sent there. We're sent by Jesus to talk about him to the people around us, to help them come into a relationship with God, and we're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. That is what it means to follow Jesus, accepting that mission. So, what does that mean? What does that mean? If following Jesus really means being sent by him to talk about him to other people and help them come into a relationship with the Father, and then live their lives as followers of Jesus, and we're given the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. But if our tendency is to get comfortable playing church, then what should we do as a group, collectively? What should we do? I think at the end of Mark, what Jesus is calling us to is to make a decision individually. Because when you and I make a decision individually, as a community, as a family, then we're all focused in the same direction. For us to individually make a decision that I will accept that mission from Jesus, that I will give my life to that, that I will give my life not to playing church and being a good person, but I will give my life to being sent by Jesus to the people around me, my family, and the people in my community, and the people that I work with, and the people that I know, and the people that I live around. I will give my life to helping those people come into a relationship with the Father. And when I say, I don't know if I have time to do that, and I don't know if I can talk like that, and I don't know if I can, I have the power of the Spirit, and He will give me the power to do that, giving our lives to that. So what does that mean? How do we give our lives to that? It depends on where you're at with Jesus in this moment. What does it mean to give your life to His mission? Depends on where you're at with Jesus in this moment. If you've never made personally the decision that you will follow Jesus, if you've never repented and been baptized and made that decision yourself, then joining your life to His mission, giving your life to His mission, means saying, I will make that initial decision. I will follow Jesus. And now I know following Jesus isn't going to mean just being a good person and going to heaven when I die. It's going to mean living the rest of my life helping other people come into a relationship with Jesus. I don't know how to do that. I don't even know what that means. Well, when I'm baptized, He'll give me His Spirit, and I'll be able to do that, and the Spirit will guide me and show me how to do that. So I'll do that. Don't know what it means, but I'll do it. I'm all in. That's what it means for you if you've never made the decision to follow Jesus. Maybe as I've been talking this morning, you say, okay, well, I've made that decision, but honestly, yeah, I've kind of been, I don't like to say plain church, but okay, I've been, to me, being a Christian has been being a good person who goes to church, and I kind of like the church to be like the church that I like, so that's what following Jesus has meant for me. And as we look at this, that Jesus would call you to repent of plain church, to repent of being a good Christian instead of a follower of Christ, to repent of coming to church on Sunday and living the rest of your life for you, focused on your life and your kingdom. And as we end Mark, Jesus would call you to repent and to accept His challenge, where He says, whoever would follow me must take up his cross, die to himself, herself daily, and follow me. And he's asking you to say, okay, I will change my mind. That's what repentance is, and Christians can and should repent. He's asking you to say, I will change my mind, and I will decide that I will accept what He says, that following Him means giving my life to being sent by Him through the power of the Spirit to talk about Him to everyone around me. I will give my life for that. And when you repent and you say, okay, Jesus, and this is maybe not something you do right now. Maybe you go home and you close your bedroom door and you just talk to Him and you say, okay, I said I would follow you, and I haven't been really following you. I've become a better person, but I haven't given my life to your mission. Would you show me what to do? Would you show me how to do that? I want to give my life to your mission. You know what He'll do? He'll put opportunities in front of you, and He'll little by little guide you down the path to where all of a sudden your life will be absorbed with His mission. He'll guide you into that. That's what the Spirit does. He guides us into all truth. And maybe for you this morning, the application is different. Maybe you are a Christian, and a long time ago you've given up on the idea that following Jesus means coming to church and being a good person. And so you've been trying to focus your life on living for the mission of Jesus, and you consider yourself a sent person, and you consider yourself God's missionary everywhere you go, and you pray for people, and you try to talk to them about Jesus. But if you were honest, you would say, sometimes I forget that that's why I'm here. And sometimes I get discouraged because I don't see results from my work. It's been a long time since I've baptized anybody. It's been a long time since I've... And that's me talking. It's been a long time since I baptized anybody. It's like, oh, that's not good. That's not good. That's not what... It's been a long time since I've sat down with someone and studied with them, someone new who's not a Christian. That's not good. And so what you need this morning, your application is to say, okay, that is my mission. I've already accepted that. I'm going to refocus on that. And I would give you a verse to use to let the Spirit refocus you and give you more energy and focus and perseverance in following Jesus and being a sent person. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:58. When you get home, look at that verse and just spend some time meditating on it and let it speak to you. Let God tell you, continue more and more. It's not in vain the labor that you're doing with the Lord. Continue living your life for this. You're on the right track. Now give yourself even more fully to that, and the Spirit will lead you as you seek to do that. So, what is your next step? And what will you do as Jesus calls us to not play church with our lives, but to give our lives to the mission of helping other people know Him through the power of the Spirit? Why don't we stand? We'll pray, and then we'll sing together. God, we come to You. We thank You because You are good, because You love us. God, this morning I pray that You would challenge our hearts to give ourselves more fully to truly following You by giving our lives to helping other people know You. That You would break through the fleshly and the cultural barrier that we have, thinking that's for ministers and that's for leaders and that's for people more mature than I, and that we would accept wholeheartedly that if I'm going to follow Jesus, it means I give my whole life to being sent by Him through the power of the Spirit to help other people know Him. Do that work in our hearts, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.